Hello, I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Welcome to My Opening Line, where we talk to comedians, actors. We talk to people about their first times performing. It's always revealing. It's always embarrassing. And we're here to do it again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you're subscribed to the Laughable app, by the way. It's an app where it tells you, you just download it. When I say subscribe, it's free. And you can not only subscribe to a podcast the way you do, but you can subscribe to the person.
Yeah, whether they're a host of a podcast or they only guest on podcasts.
Right.
Which is, I think that's really cool because a lot of people do host podcasts right now, but there are people who are such great guests and they bounce around from show to show.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow them, you can just follow them as if you're following them on Twitter or Facebook. You just kind of click on their face.
Right, because you know their social media. Yeah, they look good in a bikini, but you don't know what podcast they did last. And let's say, let's take Carmen Lynch, for example. Let's say you follow Carmen Lynch. She does a podcast. She's like, all right, I'll do this podcast for a friend. 12 people are listening. Nobody's going to know, right?
Right, so she reveals everything.
You're subscribed. You're going to find out wherever she's at. She can't get away with anything. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's like being a positive stalker.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. You asked me to support you, and I am, right?
It's right.
Like I'm getting away with something. Well, today's guest was on Conan O'Brien, Stephen Colbert, David Letterman. Listen to this. Her album, Dance Like You Don't Need the Money, was named Sirius XM Comedy's 2017 album of the year.
Damn.
There is not a better album from a comedian in all of 2017 than this person's. Ladies and gentlemen, Carmen Lynch.
Wow. Hi, everybody. I'm very excited to be here. I was waiting for the song. That's gone? The song? The intro song?
And it's my opening line, Carmen, go.
Oh, I like it. Hi.
Hello, Carmen.
Thanks for an amazing intro.
Wow, it's exciting to be here, Carmen. So we're going to talk about how you got into comedy.
Wow.
You being on television. Mm-hmm. You being a superstar. How long have you been a comedian?
Like 15 years.
You were on Last Comic Standing, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years.
Yeah. Two years into your career.
2 years in, yeah.
Which is... unheard
dumb.
Of.
It's so dumb. Well, I
love how you call it dumb. Yeah.
Well, it was dumb because I was temping and I went to Madison Square Garden and there was a really long line and I waited in line for 8 hours. And I was like, what am I doing? And then I called the guy I was dating at the time and I was like, I'm just going to leave. And he's like, what are you going to go temp? And I was like, you're right. I'll stay. And then you do like a minute in front of the producers of the show and then they invited me back and their system was different. So when I came back, they were already down to like 40, and then I think I went to the top 20.
Which is crazy. What was your 1 minute? Like, what did it have to do with?
The 1 minute was about my mom being Spanish and how people would come over and they thought she was the cleaning lady. Like, all my jokes were family jokes at the or tall. Like, it was just tall.
Isn't that great that America's like... totally, I would think that. Come on in here.
Right, right.
Relatable.
Right.
I would have assumed. I know how wrong that is that I would have assumed. So at least they're aware, I suppose. What got you into stand-up in the first place? To me, it seems it's either seeing somebody you admired or somebody that was horrible, and so you're able to do it. And it's neither?
Neither. I grew up in Virginia, and I moved to New York for acting. And then while I was here, I saw a show. And I was like, I honest to God thought these people were just funny all the time. They just walked on stage, you know? And I was
that's
like,
that's what I thought
that's
also.
Not fair. I thought they were like models, but personality models.
Oh,
like,
what are
they
these
just
comics?
Don't have to do anything. They just show up and they're just like, I'm funny. And I was like, I got so jealous. I'm like, that's not fair. Like, one guy was like in sweatpants and I'm like, you don't have to do anything. You just speak and you're hilarious.
It's
and
like then, figuring out a magic trick, you know?
Yes.
Like, wait a minute. We didn't give him topics. He came with the topics.
And I was like, how come what kind of parents do you have that you were just born so perfect and funny? And then someone was like, you write this stuff down. And I'm like, oh, it's pre-rehearsed, you know? And so then I took a class. And then in the class, I said, I don't want to perform. I just want to learn how to write a joke.
Okay.
And, why? What were you hoping to?
Because acting had lines. And I was like, I can do that. I can learn lines that someone gives me. But I had no idea I could maybe write a joke. So I was like, I want to learn that. But I don't want to have the pressure to perform my jokes. I just maybe I'll write for someone funny. Maybe I'll like write. And they were like, the teacher was like, you're going to want to perform. And I go, no, I won't. And then
the teacher said, actually, I don't do much here. I literally tell you how to take a mic out of a stand and then tell you to go get them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to teach you writing. So if you don't do that.
Well, how did you pick the class? Because that's nerve wracking.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the most
rip-off
bullshitty.
Yes. Yes. Well, the reason I took two classes. The first one was, do you remember the Learning Annex?
Yes. Yes. It's like the early webinars.
Yeah.
But you had to go in person.
But they were these, like the magazines were, I don't know if they, do they still even have that? They're on the streets and you would just find things, like random things.
I haven't seen in a long time. What it would be like the tiniest magazine. Yeah. And it would be selling you on different classes. And a lot of the classes would be like, you know, D-list actors who you used to know who are now teaching acting. And then like a lecture by so-and-so because he's had 10 years of experience. Yes.
Or how to talk to the opposite sex. Yes. Like all these different kind of things.
Yes.
By the way, for the record, the Learning Annex is now online. Online classes. Yeah.
But the thing I liked about the Learning Annex is their stand-up comedy class was 3 classes and everything else was like 8. And I remember at this point, I still don't want to do it. Right. I'm like, I don't want to take 8 weeks of this. Right. I just want the basics. So it was three days. And then I think it was 3 days in a row. And then you just go up and...
How much was it? Do you remember?
I don't, but it was pretty cheap.
Yeah. I think all those things were about $125.
Yeah, it was probably around there. Okay. And I was so non-committal. I'm like, this, whatever. I just want to see what happens. And the teacher whose name I remember his name now.
Howie Mandel.
I don't even know if he's still a comic, but I know he moved out west. He, and I can say this because it wasn't a secret because he would tell the whole class, but he had a cocaine addiction, like a drug addiction. I don't know if it was heroin or cocaine, but he would pass a picture of himself like totally high and just be like, I was a comic for years. Don't do drugs because you'll look like this.
That was day 3, right?
I think it was day 1. And I was like, what is this job? It's crazy.
We're going to start with the pitfalls of your success. Now, this supermodel looks attractive, right? Oh, man, I'm into this.
So then I was like, oh, my God, I'm staying. And I'm glad he did that because I was like, oh, and, you know, he's like, you're going to be at a bar all the time. So just watch what you drink. You're going to get exposed to drugs. I did. So I was like,
what kind of lesson is this?
So I was like, okay, I'll just write my jokes and then leave.
He's oddly specific, like, and try not to piss off Dennis Leary at a party because you drank too much. The guy's a gatekeeper, believe it or not.
You know what? One of the lessons had 1 hour of how to bartend. You're going to be in bars.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass yourself. Right. Learn how to order.
Right. We're all going to get drunk today.
Just to see what it feels
and
like.
And one of us is going to be a surprise talent agent. We're not going to tell you who. Now go interact. Some will be wasting your time. One person is a talent agent.
What is that even a talent agent? It's just the assistant.
Right.
But start drooling. It's important.
So then you would just go up in front of the class, do 5 minutes. Everybody would critique.
Right.
And then on the last day, was it Stand Up New York on a Sunday? I remember this at like 5. And he was like, bring your friends, bring your family. And I'm like, I'm not telling anyone.
Right.
And there were like 10 people in there. And I was like, I'm not going up anyway. Why would I tell anybody? And then he tapped me on the shoulder. And it's weird because when I think back, I wrote on a piece of paper like 3 jokes. And I'm like, but I'm not going up.
Right.
I just want to write it down anyway.
I'm not going to win, but I'll think.
You know? So then he tapped me on the shoulder and he's like, you're next. And I didn't stop him. And we had 5 minutes. I only did those 3 jokes. So I was up there for like 2 minutes, less.
Do you remember what you were thinking as you went up and as you started? Were you shaking? Were you nervous?
I wasn't nervous. I was excited, but I wasn't nervous because there were literally 10 people. I didn't know anyone in there.
Okay.
So I was like, great.
You don't even have to leave town. You can leave that block.
Yeah. And then once I got up, I immediately thought that it was amazing because I got a laugh. My jokes have always been kind of short, so I was surprised that I got a laugh quickly, that it worked.
Do you remember that first line?
Well, it was all, I remember, and I used this line for too many years, but I was like, let me think. I don't think I'm going to live a long life because I've never seen any really tall old ladies. And the thing is, like, now I love new material. It's my favorite thing. But for the first maybe 6-7 years, I did all the same stuff all the time. And I think it's because I got Last Comic Standing so quickly. And I got, you know, back then, I mean, there weren't that many stations. I mean, there were channels, but it wasn't like Netflix and all that. So I would walk into places and people would be like, oh my God, you're that girl from Last Comic Standing. And then I would get spots so early on and I felt the pressure to be good. And so I just did the same.
You didn't want to take a risk with new things.
No.
Like, listen, Last Comic enjoyed this. The next comic will enjoy this. Yeah.
And then Rich, oh my God, what's his last
Voss.
Name? No, not Rich Voss. Yeah. A booker. Rich. Oh my God. I'm sorry, Rich. Well, at the Broadway Comedy Club.
Don't drag me into it. this is on your
No, arm. I meant, I'm sorry, Rich. Anyway, Rich, I'm so bad with names. He actually
what
was
if,
so hey, good to me.
What
and
if
he
we
was
just
like,
go with Rich?
You need to do.
Ron? No, another one.
No.
What if we just go with Rich?
So, like, you need to do new stuff because you're good and you're sabotaging your career by just doing all the same crap. And he, that was so, Rich Brooks. And so shout out to Rich Brooks. And he was like, you need to do more stuff because you're doing the same.
Was that embarrassing?
No, because he called me. It was embarrassing between us, yes. him and me. But I knew that, you know, I knew that he was saying the right thing and I knew I had to do that.
Well, so after that first three jokes, were you hooked?
Totally.
You were.
I swear to God, I thought I got married and had a baby. Like, I found my life. I was like, this is it. This is, and I've never felt that in my entire life. So I felt so lucky. Like, I always felt sad that people knew what they wanted to do and I never had that feeling with anything. And that, at that moment, I didn't know it could happen so quickly.
Wow. That's like being called into the priesthood, except real.
But even in class, when I was standing up in front of the class, it was just a class, so I didn't really think much of it.
Right.
But when I got laughs from strangers, I was like, this is the best thing ever.
And was your teacher like, told you bitch?
I think I probably thanked him. But from that moment, then I took an 8-week course. But I took it because I didn't
commitment.
Even know. I know. I didn't even know. I didn't follow stand-up growing up. Everyone's like, my dad had albums. I didn't know anything about stand-up except for what I saw on Seinfeld.
Ooh.
Those little clips. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't follow stand-up. So I'm like, and I knew I wasn't going to go to an open mic by myself. That sounded really scary.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to take an 8-week course and I'm going to meet people to go to open mics with.
That's a good thought process.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, well, you know, I mean, college, I wasn't really good at college, but it teaches you how to study. You know, like you learn, like I needed structure, I guess is my thing. So for comedy, I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
By the way, what did you major in college?
Psychology.
Okay. And you didn't want to pursue that?
I did. But then I went to a psychiatric ward for an internship. And it completely was just awful. Like, I asked for, like, you could have, like, level one or level two patients, like, minor and
severity.
Then severe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had some crazy woman who, like, stabbed her dad. And when I spoke to her doctor, he was crazy too. And I'm like, he's crazy because he's around crazies all the time. And this will be me. I will be crazy in an institution. Like, he was so crazy.
Wow.
And I was like,
so now you're surrounded by comics.
Like, it's not even the only type of psychology. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I could be a therapist in my home. And I was like, this isn't for me. I've always been so tunnel vision. I'm like, this is the only way to go. Right. Oh, then this is not it. You know?
So during the 8-week course, did you find a buddy?
Oh yeah. Did you ever meet Michael Brill? Do you know him?
Sure.
Yeah.
He was in my learning annex class. We were best friends, attached to the hip for like the first 5 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was great. So we would do all of our open mics, all of our bringer shows together and everything. Yeah.
How did you do on bringer shows?
What did I do?
How did you do?
Oh, how did I do?
I think a lot of people bring up bringer shows, and I think the audience knows, but just in case.
Oh, it's just, well, the two best ones as a new comedian were at Gotham. It was Jessica Kirsten's show. You had to bring three people.
That's not bad, three people.
No. And then the Comedy Cellar, this guy named Greg, I don't know where he is anymore, but he would run these weekend shows at the Comedy Cellar at 7 p.m. before the real show started. Mm. And so I would do Jessica's show and his show. So I'd go to Gotham great. In the Cellar. And they both needed three people. And three is, you know, you just had to not bring 20. I would just be like, you can't come tonight, but you can come tomorrow. Right. And then
I can't waste you on the fourth person.
No, I can't. Yeah. And it would happen. And sometimes you'd be like, well, I brought 12 people. And I'm like, why didn't you tell them to come on Thursday? Right. So yeah, I did those all the time. And then I would flyer all the time. That was a thing too.
You would put flyers in places?
No, you would just hang out outside with flyers. You would bark. You would just like hand out flyers.
Like, hey, want to see a comedy show?
Yeah, that was in Times Square. That was in downtown.
Were you good at that?
No, I sucked. I hated it. It was awful. Michael Brill and I got busted once. We were at Ha, and we were like, fuck that. Can I say fuck? Yeah. So we went to McDonald's and just hung out at McDonald's. And then...
you got caught?
We got busted. The person came into the... And they're like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
I'm working from the table.
There are people in here. So you got on TV really fast, and then that pushed your career forward a lot.
Yeah, and it happened too quick because I honestly was doing it to learn how to audition, to, you know, be on stage in front of important people, and I didn't expect them to. So then I went to Caroline's, and I think at that point they were down to 20 on the East Coast and 20 on the West Coast, because the First Last Comic Standing made it about East versus West. Mm. So we had three judges. It was like Colin Quinn, Joy Behar, and I forget who else. And then I did well on that and went to the next round. And then I went to Vegas, and that's when I met Jay Moore, and it was 20 of us, 10 from the East and 10 from the West. And I think from the East, it was like me, Rich Voss, Corey Kahaney. Craig Baldo was the closest to my level, but he'd been doing it like 5 years. So I was like, please don't leave me. I don't know these people, and I'm scared of them. Right. I've heard of them, but I don't know them.
I picture Carmen annoying every comedian, not only at the time, but now. Like, okay, I never looked up albums. What is comedy? I mean, I know comedy is like, haha, with your mouth, but what is it? And yes, I was on Last Comic Standing 2 years in. It's stupid. Like, what am I? Who am I? Like, this is stupid.
How did we all even get here? No, literally, I don't know. Could you tell me?
and then, yeah, okay, thank you. I was on Letterman. I'm going to be on another talk show next week. Okay, but like, what is it?
So that's the thing. I do remember your Letterman, which was like a very official time on TV, right? Like, that's a big one to get.
Yeah, that was very... I mean, Last Comic Stand, don't get me wrong, I was excited. I just wasn't ready.
But
yeah. And then I did it again 10 years later, and that one was way better because
By the way, you know all the people you're talking to that got kicked off of Last Comic Standing, and they were ready. What an insult. I've been doing it 20 years. I'm ready. I'm not. No, I'm tall.
But they they said to me, I remember they said it in my face. They'd be like, we like you. You're the new girl who waited in line. And everyone else didn't do that. They had like time slots.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, how often are they going to bring up this you waited in line? I don't want people to know this.
Well, the reason why I bring up Letterman is you did an incredible job. But what stood out a lot, obviously your jokes and how fabulous you are. But, at the end, I was like, is he gonna go for it? And Letterman.
Kevin just saw an energy, right?
Did you think something was gonna happen?
I did.
Like, what did you think was gonna happen?
When he walked over to you, I was like, he likes her. It was on him. There was something, and I wasn't.
We thought you were gonna see that secret room.
ew, the intern room. Ew. But there was a vibe about him, like he was enjoying your set, and he cracks up at people's things, like he's paying attention usually. But I'm like, no, he's enamored, like he's smitten by you. Then he walks over, and I'm like, what could he do with that energy? He's on TV. He takes your hand, and instead of shaking it or in addition to it, I don't know, he kisses your hand. And I was like, oh, Carmen, you were just beautiful right there, because you were just like, nope, this is happening. You didn't make it weird at all. Like, you didn't add to the weirdness.
It'd be funny. You slap him.
Right.
Like, you slap David Letterman. He was going to have
you
on.
We just start making out.
He's like, oh, the cameras.
So I wasn't really surprised that he went for something extra weird, except that I was surprised that, you know, I was like, you're showing your cards so fucking much. Was there anything else aside from that?
No, it's actually, it's very quick because when you get there, you know, you do hair and makeup and all that, but the producers are with you the whole time. So seeing Letterman, that was my first moment seeing him, was when he came closer. And I forgot, because I remember I was so excited. It was my first late night set and the audiences there are so ready to laugh that I was just enjoying that moment. And then I looked over and he was right there. Mm. And if you notice it when you see it, I think they cut it out on YouTube or whatever, but I kind of just went like, hey, what's up? Like I was at a party and I didn't know he was going to be there.
Oh shit, you're here.
Yeah, what's going on?
I think he went to the bathroom or something.
So yeah, but then the second time, it's funny, like it gets in your head. You're like, what if I don't do that well? And like,
and he doesn't kiss my hand.
It's a handshake.
And then the minute he grabbed my hand to do it again, I was like, oh, thank God, that would have been really awkward if he hadn't kissed my hand the second time.
Did he remember you? Or does he just kiss you?
I don't know. I mean, even if he remembered me, I was like, did he remember that he kissed my hand? Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's not like I see him kiss all female hands, right. Yeah. You know, I was like,
he's not known for being Richard Dawson necessarily.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know, it's like, go girl. Just odd. Just so odd.
He goes up the arm. Higher each time.
That's happened to me before. After a show, this girl came up to me and I was so confused, and when I'm in shock I just kind of freeze. So she just went up my arm, and I was like, what?
She was kissing you up?
Yeah,
your
she was
arm?
Kissing me up. She's like, I loved your star so much, and she just grabbed my arm and she just started kissing my arm.
Oh God, where did it stop?
The chest. Just kept going. I didn't know what to do.
I didn't know. No, when she reached up here, my brain was like, oh wait, who is this? And then I stopped. And plus I had friends, my friend from kindergarten, I went to kindergarten in Spain. Her family was at this show and they were standing after the show. They were standing with me when this happened.
So they're like, is this tradition? They just start kissing you?
Yeah. And I'm just like looking at them like, what's happening? And then I was like, oh, she's just not going to stop. Like I thought maybe it'd be like three and then that's it. And I was like,
because jokes come in threes.
I don't know. Yeah, here comes the punchline. Oh, wait, this is a tag kiss.
I'd be like,
she just didn't stop.
I'd be like, oh, it's a new hip thing. I don't understand. I would just let it go. Like, sure. Where's this end?
She's taking Letterman to a whole new place.
Yeah. Trying to one up. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, when people are like, guys, do guys hit on you? I'm like, so far, a girl has been like the only girl who's kissed me after the show.
The most physically aggressive.
Yeah.
Lucky you, question mark.
Now, how do you let Conan know, for example, like kissing the hand is okay? Like,
it's my thing.
You can't tell them ahead of time, right? Like, hey, I'm kind of known as the you can't control yourself woman.
I'm just going to place my arm right here, and that's your sign to just...
Do what comes natural, but read a 1923 book, you kiss my hand.
I would love to talk to Letterman and ask about him kissing you. Like, that's part of... I'd interview him for a half an hour, and 1 minute of it would be like... Would you kiss Keith's hand if he did such a good job?
I'm going to show you five hands. You tell me which one gives you feelings. I bet we'll have a match.
Which one have you kissed? Now, one of these is Carmen's, and it hasn't been washed in 5 years.
Kendra, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to think, where's this coming from? I'm just thinking of a friend of mine, and I wish more people said this. I know that's what counts as a good friend, when they let you know, hey, you have bad breath. Hey, you're not brushing correctly.
Oh, that's the worst, though. Like, I feel like you kind of feel it in your mouth, but still.
Well, the truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So, what makes Quip so different?
That I have it.
Well, for starters, Quip, Quip, is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes and guiding pulses that remind you when you switch sides. They're absolutely right. I understood you had this thing like happy birthday, Trina, and I'm making a mess. I'm spitting all over. How am I going to be singing and brushing my teeth?
I do. I try to, I'm just like, that's got to be a minute. But I got to say, after I started using this toothbrush, I was like, oh man, yeah. I was mistaken about how long 2 minutes are to brush your teeth.
Next, Quip's subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. Okay. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide.
That's actually really the crazy part because, you know, I don't switch my toothbrushes until it falls on the ground and I step on it. Uh-huh. And B, I have to go to the store, and then those toothbrush heads cost a lot. Never mind that the actual thing costs a lot. So this was a big solution for me.
Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel whenever you take your teeth, which is most always. And finally, everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O list, named one of Time's best inventions, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association.
You know what that means? That it could be that at some point, Oprah said, you get a Quip. You get a Quip.
Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Quip starts at just $25. And if you get, so listen to this, ready?
Okay.
Go to getquip.com/MOL for my opening line. You'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. I'll say that again.
This is insane. That's an electric toothbrush for what? It sounds like $25.
That's your first refill pack free.
Whoa.
Getquip.com/MOL. GETQUIP.com/MOL. So recently, very recently, you're on America's Got Talent, and I don't even want to know. Not even I'm pressuring you. I don't even want to know what the fuck happens next. Okay?
Why don't you care?
I don't even give a shit. I'm kind of bored by it.
Did you stand in line?
No.
That's right.
You didn't.
That would have been embarrassing after 15 years of comedy. I'm like, right. Yep, back in line, 8 hours. Right.
Does part of you go, hey, I'm going to be picked on by my peers. People are going to think this is a gimmick show. And you had to convince yourself.
I mean, it was the third time they asked. And I was
even
always
Jews accept after the third time.
Right.
I was always like, ugh, I don't want to do that. But it wasn't like, it just wasn't. I don't know. The timing this year just felt right. Maybe just because there wasn't anything else going on. I don't want to say that. That sounds really mean. But you know what I mean. Like, right. If I just like to have things spread out. I don't know. It felt right. Okay. It felt right. And I liked that there weren't, it wasn't a comedy show. I liked that there were like different types of talent on there.
Do you end up talking to the jugglers and whatnot?
Yeah.
Is everybody cool? How do you?
Yeah, everybody's great. And honestly, I wish I could say, but it's like all in the contract. You can't talk about it. But yeah,
it was great. Talk about the juggler.
I just can't talk about anything.
Right. It's an anonymous program for now. You know, it's right. Just like he's got a story. I got my story.
But no, everybody's cool. But it is cool to see, and you can see it on TV. Like there's, you know, all kinds of stuff, magicians and dogs and all kinds of stuff.
Easy, I don't want to get you in trouble. Easy.
Let me tell you about this dog. No.
How far along are you that we're allowed to know about as of the recording?
All I was told to say was that I can tell you when I'm on, which is tomorrow. And that's
okay.
It. Yeah.
So look for it online and follow America's Got Talent.
Right. And set your VCR. I have a clue. Okay.
VCR. You have a VCR set up. Yes.
Well, in case they take us to court, I'll be like, what is a VCR anyway? You know what I mean? I got all the bases covered. Don't you worry. Yeah.
So we always ask people, like, you're in such a good place in your career. You're traveling a lot. You're on TV. You seem very smooth and comfortable in the whole chaos of it. Mm. And you never seem chaotic. One of the few comics that is not like, I just went to rehab and like, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What's the thing that you would tell a new comic or your new comic self other than don't try out for the TV show 2 years in? A lot of people say go up as often as possible.
Yeah.
But is there something else that somebody, would you recommend going to a class?
It depends on your personality. Like, I'm glad I went because I wouldn't have done it any other way just because I was too scared to just show up at an open mic, you know.
What do you wish in general you knew?
I wish I had, oh my God. I guess I mean, always do new material. That was a great thing that someone told me, Rich told me, but
Rich Brooks?
Rich Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's all the cliche stuff. Like, just keep going up and none of it matters. None of it really matters. Like, people are always like, well, I think I know my persona, but I think I'm going to try it like this. And I'm like, well, don't try. Just do it. Right. It'll just come to you one day.
What lets you be, I guess, brave enough to try that new stuff and to say, well, maybe this isn't part of my persona, but I'm going to be okay with it. Some people are scared to do it on stage and maybe their peers watching and it didn't land. And so you're afraid that moment will give you a bad reputation. How do you have the balls?
I think it's just time. Yeah. It really is. Because like every step higher that you take, like the thing below it means nothing. Like when I did Letterman, like all the shows in New York, they didn't matter to me. It didn't matter if I bombed, except for the Comedy Cellar, because there's pressure there, you know, because you never. But then I did a theater, and then so the, you know, a 200 seater didn't matter anymore because I'd done the 2000. You know what I mean? So every time you go up,
it's like a weird version of "this too shall pass."
Yeah.
Or like, this is important now, but let it go now so that you can enjoy it, because it won't mean anything.
Yeah. The high, I feel every time I did something bigger or more scary, then the thing below it was like, well, this doesn't matter.
Right.
You know?
That's a really good one, because I feel like that, even if you're not pursuing comedy, I feel like when you're in pursuit of something, it is that step higher that's always the scary part, and then as soon as you take that step higher, you recognize like fear is just that.
It's just that. Yeah. It's so, and then you see people do like 10,000 room arenas or whatever, and you're like, but they don't look nervous. And you're like, oh, because they've been doing the 5,000 one
right
for so long. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they just keep growing. So
there you have it. All right, Carmen. God damn it.
Wow, I feel like this is my first time here. We've really gone back.
Yeah. Come here.
Here's my hand, Keith. Don't go near my face.
You want to follow Carmen Lynch at carmenlynch.com. Get the dates. I'll tell you, I've seen Carmen perform many times. Not once does she phone it in.
Oh, wow.
Your ace is 10.
You've come to good shows then.
Well, I know how to pick them. And I deliberately pick, like, I don't think she's going to give a fuck about tonight. You know what I mean? I'm like, wherever she ended up, it's some weird place.
Pouring rain outside. She always gives a good show.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to trick her, and she'll end up cursing, saying the N-word. Who knows what happens? And always the greatest. All right. So follow her. Say hi. Don't forget laughable.com. Download that app. Subscribe to the person as well as the podcast. You can subscribe to her. And exciting news, speaking of stand-up, my album, Drip Drip, is now available. Go to keithandthegirl.com. You'll see everything right there. All right? Thank you very much.
It's called Drip Drip?
You know
it.
Oh,
that's cute. Oh.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com. Mm-hmm.